Right, hello and welcome to another episode of the Long Ball Football Podcast, a weekly podcast by two brothers about all things football in Portugal. You listen to myself, Albert, and this week I'm joined by the ever excellent Patrick Ribeiro. Patrick, thank you so much for joining us again. How are you doing, mate?
I'm good, mate. Thanks. Thanks for having me on once again. And some interesting games, some interesting times to look back on and look forward to. So yeah, glad to be here. Yeah.
No, it's our pleasure. Thank you very much for joining us. As we were just discussing off air, some big results, which we'll come on to. And obviously, Patrick, a sporting fan, big fan of the whole league, of course, but a sporting fan. Interesting times for sporting as we head into the last day of the season. We're going to discuss the Lisbon derby, of course, but also some big results at the bottom end of the table as well. So, yeah, let's get stuck straight into it, because obviously we had that huge game at the weekend, the Lisbon derby, the Clásico. I saw someone dubbing it the derby of the century. I guess they mean like this century rather than in 100 years, but listen, yeah, let's run with it, because it was a very unique prospect. The idea that, you know, on the penultimate day of the season, the derby between two of the biggest clubs in the country, and ultimately a situation where potentially the winner would win the league, which was really mouth-watering prospect. As it stands, though, it ended in a draw, 1-1, which I don't think was what people hoped for, but it is no less an interesting result. Sporting initially obviously went ahead early in the game through a goal from Francisco Trincão. Benfica got an equaliser in the 63rd minute, and I think at that point you could kind of sense that Benfica were the team most gunning for the winning goal. They couldn't get it over the line, and it did end, of course, with the point for each team. And although it's not the result that perhaps Sporting fans would have wanted or Benfica fans would have wanted, I think in some ways it's definitely advantage Sporting in the title race, obviously, because of the head-to-head results earlier in the season. But yeah, your thoughts on the game?
So it was from a sporting perspective, at least, it was quite a cagey one. Got the early goal. And I think it was a competent performance. Probably the team set out to do exactly what the manager expected. We've seen this sort of outlook before from Rui Borges in big games, where he likes to be more pragmatic, more conservative than he usually is. And I was a bit fearful even by the fact that Sporting had gotten that early goal, because I didn't know how the team would shape up, whether they would close themselves in too much and invite that pressure from Benfica. And Benfica's probably the last club you want to do that against in the league, because, I mean, it was there for all to see. Like, the fans got right behind every attack that Benfica threw their way. And sometimes when you pin yourself back like that, you're setting yourself up for wave after wave of attack. And if Benfica managed to get one in the first half, they could easily chase for the second and third. But it wasn't to be. Like, Sporting were really solid. Like, fair play to the manager. I think that's probably the most competent I've seen the three centre-backs play all season. Maybe there are other games where they played really well, but given the level of performance that was required against a big game, like, as you say, the derby of the century, like, from Quaresma to Diomande Inácio, they were all top class. And even St. Just, when he came on, like, it was as fine-tuned as I've seen a Sporting's back three centre-backs like all season. So I was very pleased with that. I think, moreover, again, there is that sort of lingering feeling, like, of whether Sporting could have done more, because they do have the players to hurt Benfica as well. And sometimes you want to see a little bit more ambition, especially as a big club, as someone who's going for the title. But I think in that sort of situation where we set ourselves up for the counter-attack, I think a lot of Sporting's attackers just weren't really on their day. I think Gyökeres is probably the main highlight. You would usually see him take the likes of António Silva or Otamendi down the channels, and you'd fancy him against them all day long in that sort of scenario if he manages to isolate them. And he was never quite able to spin away as he usually does. The ball wasn't really sticking to him. Even when he did turn, he wasn't making the right decisions to play Trincão or Eugenie down the flank or what have you. So I guess the attack did let Rui Borges down a bit, and had they been on a on a better day of themselves, they would have perhaps caused Benfica a little bit more trouble. The opposite end, I felt like Benfica, you know, they did what they had to do. Unfortunately for them, they conceded quite early, and they just had to chase the game. And they did react well. I do feel like they were more threatening when chasing the equaliser rather than when chasing the winner, as much as they wanted that winner, of course, because they wanted to win and to leave things in their own hands in terms of the title. But yeah, it just didn't really work out for them. Sometimes I wonder whether they were throwing strikers onto the pitch. Sometimes it sounds like a good idea to throw everyone in the box, but sometimes you just lose that method that you have from a creative midfielder or something, and it doesn't really work. I feel like the substitutions, and even when Pavlidis came off for Artur Cabral, I was very surprised that that happened, because I thought Pavlidis was having a really good game. He was central to the equaliser. But yeah, it was a good game between two top teams, the two best teams in the league. And in the end, I think a draw was definitely a fair result.
I agree with a lot of what you said, actually. And on, just on what you were saying about Benfica and the substitutes, I think it's a very good observation that they were much more effective going for the equalizer than the winning goal, because, in one sense, going for the equalizer is quite a different prospect. It's almost like, you're the underdog in that situation and you're kind of fighting to get back in it. And suddenly they find themselves in that situation where, okay, they get it to 1-1 and now they have the opportunity to kick on and get the winner, which was, if I'm being honest, that's what I thought was the most likely outcome at that stage, just because of the momentum of the game. But they didn't look particularly cohesive at that point, and I think that was a real, probably the biggest disappointment was, at that point in the season, like that crunch moment of the season where, that could very much have been it, like do or die. If they don't get the winner in that situation, then they go into the final game at a disadvantage. And at that point, you want a manager who's is do you want a manager who's going to say, right, let's chuck everything at it and see what happens? Which in some ways, like, I'm not going to hammer it. It's a valid option, that's fine. If you want to take a defender off, put a striker on and say, let's throw everything at it, I get it. But the other way to look at it is, do you have the patience and the confidence in your players to say, let's just stick with the system because we know we can create, the chance to get the goal? It might be that you only make the one chance, but it'll be a much better chance than any of the chances you're going to get if you're just chucking balls up front to a load of strikers who haven't played a lot of minutes and are a little bit rusty, which is probably a bit harsh, but somewhere along the way of what I thought we ended up with. Because in my opinion, it was an interesting game because there wasn't a ton of amazing chances for me. Even the Trincão goal, I thought was a kind of a half chance. I didn't really expect it to go in. And we've come to see Trubin make some great saves, and maybe in another day he saves that chance, but he didn't in this case. And then obviously the Benfica goal is it comes from a moment of individual brilliance, and it deserves a lot of credit because that was the moment of the game. The highlight of the whole match was that moment from Pavlidis where he goes on that run. I have to say, I didn't think he had that in him. Like, I don't see him as that type of player to go on that type of mazy run. And I'm just glad, again, from a neutral perspective, I'm glad that there was a finish there to make the most of what was a great move. But yeah, I definitely agree that if anything, it was kind of obviously more of a missed opportunity from Benfica's perspective, and Sporting setting up the way that they did with. I wonder whether I can only speculate, but even before the game, maybe the messaging was kind of more about Benfica need this more than us. The pressure's on them. And that would be, again, be a perfectly valid way to talk to your players in a high stakes situation, to take the pressure off them, to say, look, the pressure's on the opposition. If we don't win this game, it's not necessarily the end of the world if we get a draw. And we didn't see the kind of what I thought we might do from Sporting, which was like real high stakes football and players like Gyökeres at their peak, which obviously we didn't get. But alas, maybe on the kind of fairy tale side of things, not if I think I'm right in saying, I think I heard one of the commentators say that it would have been Sporting's first time winning the league at the Estádio da Luz. I mean, that would have been like an amazing moment. Obviously, we saw Porto do that all them years ago with the lights turned off and all that kind of stuff. And that could have been Sporting's moment. But what's more important, throwing everything just to go for that moment or sticking with the stability to give yourself a very good opportunity, which they have next Saturday, to win the league with a win. So yeah, I agree. It was an interesting game, kind of. Maybe we should have seen it coming that it wasn't as gung-ho as we thought it might be, but nonetheless a very interesting result. I do try and avoid this kind of stuff on the podcast. We don't really do it, but because it's the last game of the season, I'm going to do it. I'm going to put you on the spot. Benfica are playing Braga, Sporting are playing Vitória. Two teams in very different places. Braga, obviously, their season's all but over now. They kind of guaranteed that fourth spot. Third place is all but impossible. And Vitória, well, they maybe have something to fight for. You know, looking for that fifth place, they're in danger of slipping into sixth. They want to bounce back from an embarrassing result against Forense, which we'll come on to. But yeah, I'm interested. Like, it's a big weekend ahead. It could, and it, you could argue it could go either way.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like especially teams that usually fall just outside the top three, like a big game against one of the top three is always a big game. So I feel like the likes of Braga and Vitória, just on that alone, will be up for the game. Of course, I feel like if you're to compare the two situations, it's difficult to say which of the two games is the toughest because, as you say, Braga guaranteed fourth place, basically. They've more or less got nothing to play for now. Whereas Vitória are still in that little battle with Santa Clara for fifth place. And I feel like they would be disappointed if they didn't finish fifth place for sure. So that will definitely be what they'll be fighting for. On top of that, they've got the added ingredient that, of course, Sporting pinched their manager. And they won't want to lose. They won't want to lose at all.
Not at all, no.
They'll want to spoil that party for sure. So I am looking at it, despite the fact that Sporting are at home and Benfica away, I am looking at it as Sporting's game is that little bit trickier. Of course, we've got no Hulman as well for the tie. And anyone who's followed Vitória, as you say, they'll be disappointed to finish anything below fifth because they have played such good football at times. And any Benfica fan will tell you, despite the fact that they won 3-0 a few weeks back, like what that Vitória midfield can do to you in terms of suffocating play, like it's something to be wary of. And for sure, Sporting will have to be on their toes in that game. I'm worried because I'm genuinely worried. Listen, it's the last game of the season as well. Nothing
Anything can
makes sense
happen,
at that
man.
point.
Anything can
Nothing makes
happen.
sense. It doesn't matter where you are in the table. Nothing makes sense, but I just think I saw the reaction as well from Sporting fans given the draw. And obviously, Sporting have the advantage, everything is in their hands. They just got to beat Vitória, and it was already being celebrated as if the title was done. And that's not it. The Sporting still has a job to do against a Vitória, and Vitória is a very good side. And they will be looking at that Sporting team, they will be looking at areas of weakness, aka the midfield. And they will go for Sporting. So Sporting has to be on their toes. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with that. But I think for sure Sporting in terms of difficulty, I think Sporting's fixture edges it. I see Benfica winning against Braga, honestly, even though
Same,
it's
yeah.
away. I do think Braga mentally, even though it's a big game and everything, I think Braga mentally are just in that spot right now. And Benfica are going to have way too much hunger to win that game. Unless something goes completely wrong, then yeah, I think Benfica have more than enough to really overpower Braga. And then, yeah, Sporting at home. Sometimes at home games at Sporting, especially at Western away games, because it's like you feel the nerves. You feel the
100%.
nerves. Things start going wrong. Like fans start wondering, like, why are you passing it back all of a sudden? Pass the ball
The
forwards.
whistling, it's the whistling when people start passing back.
They start telling you to shoot in nonsensical places. That can be tricky. With it's a final. It's basically a final. So it's like it will be an interesting one for sure. They'll have to draft in Morita as well, who is a great player, don't get me wrong.
A little bit off it when he came on, I thought.
Way off it. Again, if there's to be another criticism to throw at a Sporting manager, it would be that substitution. I don't think it worked at all. I think it opened up more space for Benfica to capitalize on because the Bas was having a great game. And I think with Morita, who's missed large periods of the season, same thing with Pedro Gonçalves. It's so hard for a player to come into a team at this stage of the season,
Absolutely.
because the not just the hunger, but the physical level is on a completely different universe to what they're at currently. It's very difficult to slide into that. But yeah, Sporting are gonna have to make do with him. But
It's
we'll
gonna
see.
be crazy. Yeah, I appreciate a very gracious answer then, because I'm sure in reality a lot of sporting fans are very nervous. And it's true, I believe that there is that kind of dichotomy at the moment. On the one hand, Sporting have it in their hands, but equally the pressure's on them, and for Benfica, I completely agree. I see them winning, beating Braga. I think Braga already mentally checked out of this season. The combination of multiple bad results in a row and their season basically being already finished. I think they'll be not the toughest adversary. So listen, again, for the neutral like myself, it makes it very exciting. I guess for the other teams, it makes it a lot more nerve-wracking. So yeah, you guys have my sympathies, but we look forward to the climax of the season. I think it's all at the same time, 6 p.m. on Saturday in the UK, and obviously different around the world. But yeah, that's going to be the time to lock in and see what happens. Let's move on, Patrick. Actually, all we're going to do today is talk about the other three games involving the relegation battle, because that's where the action is really at. And let's start with Boavista versus Porto, because it was a very, very tough day for Boavista, who, whilst I don't think they would have had any expectations about getting a result out of this game, they would have hoped to, but it wouldn't have been on their priorities list. I think what they would have hoped for was maybe one of their rivals doing them a bit of a favour. And not do what they did, which was win both their games. Obviously, we saw ABS beat Estrella, and we saw Ferenc beat Vitória away from home. We'll come on to those games very shortly, but very tough day for Boavista. They see those results, they have to play afterwards, and they go 2 goals down inside 25 minutes. Just a wonderful, wonderful solo goal from Rodrigo Mora. Another magical moment from that kid who has so much talent that we've seen so many times. A much more scrappier goal for the second. In the end, it was credited to Marcano with the header. I don't think he knew much about it. But anyway, like I said, Boavista find themselves 2-0 down. And again, real, real credit to them, because they did what they could to get back into it. They scored a goal from a penalty. They saw Porto get a red card with 10 minutes to go. So they threw a lot at it, but I always thought this was going to be a step too far. I didn't see them winning this game at any point, but I guess what they didn't really see was that it would turn out to be such a sort of damaging result, because obviously now they've gone, after all the good work they did beating Ferenc, beating AVS in those games recently, they're now back to square one, bottom of the table, 3 points behind their rivals with only one game to go. So yeah, it was a really, really tough moment for them.
Yeah, I mean, and again, that's all it takes really. When you're down at the bottom and you put yourself in such a pressure situation, even when you climb and climb and climb, all it takes is one little result to drop your Jenga tower, basically, and you're back to square one. I feel like it was, again, for the magic of the game, the Invicta Derby. I guess Boavista would have been looking at it and thinking, do you know what? What if there's a
True.
Great escape here against Porto, who aren't, like, let's be real, this is not the best Porto side we've seen in years. It's a fragile Porto side, so they could well have done something in front of their own fans. They could have done something even if it was at the Estádio do Dragão. They were, yeah, I think many of them would have been hoping for a miracle, like a genuine miracle happening. They would have been hopeful of that. But it wasn't to be, as you say, like a great goal from Rodrigo Mora, Moradona, as they're calling him now.
Incredible.
He keeps doing it. He keeps doing these amazing solo goals, and fair play to him. He's just got that magic touch, the Midas touch, quite clearly. And yeah, he's an exciting prospect for Porto next season to see how he develops. As long as no one pinches him, of course, in the summer, we never know. And then yeah, they followed that up. Porto followed that up with the second goal, which would have put a massive downer on Boavista, and it enabled Porto to not really have to get out of their first and second, like second and third gear, really. So it felt quite comfortable. We saw the likes of Samu come out of the shell a little bit more. He's been off the pace a little bit lately, but he looked more like himself in that game. And yeah, just a few players from the Porto team who slowly started to gain a little bit more confidence and show a little bit more character, which for their perspective, the manager especially will be happy to see. Good building blocks for them going forwards, particularly if they are looking at continuity. Who knows what's going to happen with the manager? We suspect he'll stay and have the summer to really work on his team. He'll be very pleased to see again Rodrigo Mora doing his thing consistently, Samu improving. By the time they got the red card, you were thinking, because it was 2-1, you were thinking, hold on,
With the timing
is
as well, like just with those last few minutes of the game, and I saw when the red card comes out and Seba Perez is like getting the crowd on their feet, and you just thought maybe it could be the moment.
Unfortunately for them it wasn't, but you just thought it could be. And then obviously to kill it all off, it finished 10-10 late on. But it puts Boavista in a difficult position. It's not impossible. They can still complete the great escape. But yeah, it's difficult for them, of course, going into that last game. And I think they would have much preferred a result in terms of feeling confident about things. But we'll see. I think it'll be very. There's still a lot to be told in that story.
Very much so. And yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head right at the beginning when you say this is the position that they put themselves in. I mean, we've all got on board the Boavista train these last few games with the results that they got themselves back in it. But the reality is they've always been in such a precarious position because of all everything that's happened earlier in the season, and they can't have too many complaints about where they are now. Although, again, I will give them real credit because the effort in the second half I thought was phenomenal. Like they did create chances. That's the thing. They were getting the ball. I mean, it wasn't spectacular football, but they were basically putting the ball over the top, and they got in behind a few times, and maybe on a different day with a different finish or something like that, there's a goal in there. But I just, yeah, my feeling looking at them was just, you could tell it wasn't going to happen because they just don't have that same quality that Porto have. And when you have those players who are kind of getting in behind and they have the one-on-one opportunity, they just can't get the ball out of their feet properly. They can't get their stride going. They can't get the shot off properly. And they're always going to be in that kind of position when they're struggling in the way that they are. But I mean, it was kind of Porto's moment. Rodrigo Mora's moment. I mean, he was the star of the game, and the connection between him and Samu was nice to see because that's a connection that we've seen work in the past. And yeah, it would be good to see work again. But it's a difficult one, like you say. I mean, I think when Stuart Baxter came in, he would have been told, look, you've got 5 games left. These are the three we want to win. He's got a very good opportunity to actually win those 3 games. He could still win the last game in the Stews, and then they still could go down. So it's unfortunate, but this is the reality of where they've got to this season. Let's talk about those two other games then, because it was a huge result for AVS as well as Firenze, of course. But I want to do AVS first because this was a bit of a crazy one. I mean, I don't know if you saw the news earlier in the week about the managerial change that they decided to make. Me and Barney spoke last week's podcast about the big game against Boavista. Obviously, they lost that game, and the scenes at the end of the game, which were like total devastation. This team was the players were lying on the floor, head in their hands. It looked like they were defeated already. It looked like they'd given up on the season. But I said to Barney last week, this team needs to pick themselves up because if you look at the run-in, they had for me the easiest run-in of all three teams in the bottom three. They were also on equal points with all of those other two teams. So they had a really, really good chance of at least finishing at the top of that little bunch. And then they go into this game against Estrella. And, well, forgive me, I'll go back to what I was saying. They make the decision to sack the manager, which seems mad because you've got 2 games left of the season. What could a new manager possibly do? They brought in Jose Motto, who I think was at Lechoice in the second division, and he actually kept them up and did well with them. And then he joins AVS for the last 2 games of the season with the task of keeping them up. And they won the game. They won the first game that he was in charge. So maybe it wasn't such a mad decision. After all, it was Zeluis who got the goal, the ex-Porto player, which was a decent header. But just a very, very kind of a very mad game in some ways. I think also worth coming on to Australia. I mean, maybe we'll come on to afterwards about how poor it was, a result it was from their perspective. But just for ABS, like insane scenes and the difference a week can make is just incredible.
Yeah, it's that whole new manager bounce working all
Know.
over again. It works everywhere. And yeah,
Maybe
I
we'll
think
get
they're
another
just,
new manager in for the next game just to give them like the
why not? Why
extra
not?
pounds.
Why not? Yeah, I mean, they kept it simple, really. Danger man up top, Zé Luís, and they, a lot of their better chances were balls into the box for him to attack. And eventually he had one where he caught the defender in an unfavorable position and just charged into him and scored the goal. And that's all they needed after that. Just had to keep it solid, which Jose Mota usually manages to do quite well in terms of that's usually his MO, is to keep teams nice and solid at the back. As a whole, probably AVS's best performance since I can remember in the league anyway, for a long time. And it's that the whole thing as well. Like you, if a season doesn't just begin a few like a month or two behind, it's the whole thing. But I feel like if we apply that recency bias and we see the two bits of form, patches of form that Boavista are in and AVS are in, even excluding the results, just performance to performance. Like it's hard not to feel a little bit sorry for Boavista because their performances have been like way better than AVS's. And it's that whole thing that I said, like the position that you put yourself in throughout the whole season just enables you to make that one mistake and all of a sudden you're back to square one again. And like for example, this week it was AVS's turn to take advantage. A massive game for them. I mean, every game's a cup final at this point, but this really was as big as it came, because it also involved a direct competitor in Estrela, who had been dipped right into it again after this result, and it was away from home as well. So, absolutely massive result for them. Yeah, they won't care one bit about their form. It was all about the result. The performance for them will be nice as well to go with it, but absolutely all about the result. And you've got to do it one more time, just one more time, in that final game of the season.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it makes for an interesting little battle between those four at the bottom.
Well, I think it's really important to actually acknowledge Estrella's role in all of this and this result and what it means for them, because all they had to do was get a point against a team who have looked destined for relegation all season, and they would have guaranteed themselves safety. I know Estrella are not the biggest team in this league. I know they've had their issues, but if this team that's capable of playing like they did against Porto in this stadium in front of those fans cannot get a result against AVS, I honestly could not believe it. And it was quite alarming to see, almost, because they've To be fair, the club played their part and the fans really played their part. They packed out that stadium. I've been to that stadium. Really great place to watch football. Really good fan base for a smaller team in that league. They do get backed by the fans, and it was a packed out stadium, all supporting the team. And it's one of those, I don't know if you've sort of noticed this phenomenon, but one of the sort of most harrowing sounds in football is when a team, an away team, scores in a stadium where there's only home fans, and there's just that, like, there's no roar. You're expecting the roar. You're expecting the cheer. It's just the disappointment and the grumbling. And it's like, wow, those fans were furious. And I would have been too, because what a terrible, terrible, terrible result from their perspective. They've gone from being on the brink of survival, which is a really good success for Estrella. Like, that's a team that's, they're fighting to survive pretty much every season. They have their opportunity to do it in this game. And now, as a result of this, they are 2 points from automatic relegation, let alone the playoff. They could still feasibly be relegated automatically on the last day of the season if things don't go their way. It's like, it's catastrophic. I just thought it was so poor from their perspective. Like, especially, like I said, when we see them beat Porto like they did at home, and then the players can't deliver a result in this situation. I don't know. Maybe I'm being too harsh.
No, that is, it is a, when we talk about stuff like this and we talk about the importance that psychology has, for example, on players, it is so difficult to go from here down to here. And I think Boavista will probably be feeling it a little bit,
True.
given how well they've been, and then all of a sudden they see how major a setback like this is like how much belief does that take out of you? Like they will be fragile. Stiller in particular will be fragile, and they will be worrying about what's just happened to them this weekend. It could work the opposite way. It could work as a wake up call, and they could turn up in their last game and really turn up again. You know, they had no option but to turn up against Porto, for example, and they did in grand fashion. But yeah, it's I feel like things like that always interest me, and I always look to see for clues how teams are going to react, how they're going to bounce back from this. Because for sure there'll be some players who will be feeling it, will be thinking, I'm not sure we can do this. And the managers will know. The managers will know that there will be players in there that will just won't fancy it. But then maybe once they get out there, and you know, football's so circumstantial, anything can happen. If they score an early goal, all of a sudden, it's like, why was I thinking we couldn't do this? And that's how it goes. And that may have been how it went against Porto when when Stiller beat Porto a few weeks back. It's interesting. It's interesting. Of course, we were talking about this whole relegation thing and who's going to go down, who's going to survive. So many teams battling to at least stay in that playoff spot, and that's the spanner in the works. The playoff spot is
Very
no
true.
guarantee. Like usually,
Well, ever since it's been introduced, the Premier League teams lost.
exactly. So it saves you, but does it really?
Exactly. Very much the case. So yeah, and it is interesting. I mean, Estrella are away at Moreirense on the last day of the season. Is that correct? I'll double check that in a bit. But anyways, no easy games going into the last game of the season. And yeah, Estrella dragged right back into it. Let's do the last game of the relegation battle and probably the biggest surprise result, I think, which was Ferenc winning away at Pretoria. Going ahead after 6 minutes. They saw the lead taken away from them just after half time. They had an opportunity to win the game. I think about 10 minutes before the end when they get the penalty, Ronny Lopes sees his penalty hit the post. And I think at that moment, the team must have been thinking, well, this is our chance and we blew it. But 93rd minute, Dario Poveda pops up with a winner, which I think Ferenc deserve huge credit as well, because that's a team that I slightly embarrassed to say, I think I wrote off a bit. I just didn't see that, didn't think they had the kind of team chemistry or the desire to stay up. But it's a massive 3 points. The thing I said to Barney last week was that they've got, for me, of the three teams in the relegation zone, they've got the toughest final two games, because it was this game away at Victoria and then at home to Santa Clara. So I thought they had the toughest job, but they've passed the first test with flying colours.
Yeah, it was a again top result. I think there were times in that game where you could break that game down into bits where there was moments of real satisfaction for them where they genuinely looked on top and looked like they could hurt Vitória, come away from it with a result. There was also moments of real panic where I think every set piece that went into Ferenc's box just looked like it was going to be a goal. It was like, yeah. And thankfully for them, they only managed to concede just the one, and keep things tight. And when you're able to do that, when you're able to somehow keep it 1-1, or even if you're down a goal, like in those last 10 minutes, anything can happen. And they did. They went for it. I do think the penalty was really soft that they
Yeah,
got.
true.
If, to me, I wouldn't. I just wouldn't have given it. I feel like it's sort of justified that they didn't miss it, in like thinking of the other teams that are in a similar situation. But then they did get that goal anyway, which was a great strike. I think Varela probably in goal for Vitória is one of those where you think there's certain goalkeepers that are just like very much goalkeepers, so they go with everything with their hands, and I feel like he did that I feel like if he just sticks out a leg, he saves that. And David De Gea was really good at using
True,
his feet
true.
to save balls. But yeah, I don't know. He yeah, just stick a leg out, he probably would have saved that. Which is what every Boavista, Estrela fan, etc., was probably
Exactly.
saying at that time. But no, a great result for this. I agree with you. That's by far the toughest run in the last few games. They've all had difficult games, in fairness. As you say, Boavista just played Porto, etc. But you know, to face Vitória away from home is hard for anyone. Santa Clara, they'll be wanting to keep fifth place. It's going to be really tough. And they'll be really nervous. They'll be really nervous going into that last game because they're a long way away from being favourites in that situation. But yeah, the other fixtures aren't easy either. I think Boavista are away to Arouca. So tough game. Not the longest journey for them, but it'll be a tricky one. Yeah, so there's still, it's difficult to call. In general, the whole thing is really difficult to call, like what way things are gonna go.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I will run through the fixtures now just so everyone knows what's happening. So next week, obviously all these games are kicking off at 6 p.m. on Saturday, so pretty crazy. AVS at home against Moreirense. Estrella Amadora are away against Estoril. Ferenc are at home against Santa Clara, and Boavista are away at Arouca, as you just said. So yeah, very, very interesting set of results, and I agree, completely difficult to call. The one player that I want to shout out for Ferenc in this game is the keeper, Kaique, I think it's pronounced, because I think if you looking at this game and sort of crediting Poveda with the win for the late goal, I think you also have to credit Kaique for the saves that he made multiple times. The two that jump out to me are very early in the game. He makes a kind of quite absurd double save, and then his defender helps him out to kind of clear a goal off the line. And then there's a header from Nelson Oliveira later in the game, which he saved off the line as well. So big moment for the keeper. I thought he did very well. I think it's quickly worth looking at this game from Vitória's perspective as well, because I know I'm actually not entirely sure. You have to forgive me, what the difference between fifth and sixth, what that means for Europe. I think it might be that sixth place enters the Conference League at an earlier qualification round, or maybe I'm not sure if it even misses out on Europe at all, but that is a big difference between fifth and sixth, and they're now equal on points with Santa Clara. And if we look again ahead to the last day of the season, what's Ferenc's game? Well, they have to travel to the Alvalade with Sporting wanting to win the title in that game, whereas Santa Clara are playing a team in the relegation zone. So that in itself is quite damaging. Although, I look back to not that long ago when I was giving Vitória credit for kind of getting the results back together to even get them in back into that position. So maybe they do deserve credit in that sense, but it is still disappointing from them not to be able to get a result over the line and to see their position kind of slip a bit with that big game coming up against Sporting.
Yeah, for sure. Like I think, as you say, there are no easy games at this stage of the season, but you're still going to look at things at face value when you are a team like Vitória. And fact is, they should be beating Ferenc at home, especially with what they're aiming for. So there's going to be big disappointment from their perspective that they didn't get the result that they wanted. But you know, it is one of those days. I think that, in general, you can see positives in the way that they played, and they did create a lot of chances. On another day, they do win that game. As you said, the keeper was kept very busy. I think if there is one criticism to throw at them, is it was in terms of chance creativity, it was that over reliance on a corner or a free kick or whatever. You didn't really see Vitória cut Ferenc apart as much as you'd expect. And again, that's also credit to Ferenc's organization. They were always going to back themselves defensively and really make sure that that was as tight as possible. And that's tough for any team. Like when you come up against a team that is very defensive, and fighting for their life, like it doesn't matter what options you've got, like it's not always gonna materialize. It's a situation that Vitória simply were unable to overcome. They've got the opportunity to do that and put themselves back in a decent position, and it will taste really good for them if they do manage to do it and beat a team like Sporting as well on a final day. And on top of that, as I said, stop their former manager from winning the league. So there's still so much like to play for. Is when we talk, I do think like when we talk about the climax of the season, and we talk about what a big day it is for Sporting, what a big day it is for Benfica. It's not quite as big for Vitória, but it's still a big day. That final
Absolutely.
game will still be a big, big day. They'll be well up for that.
Absolutely.
So yeah, what? Yeah, it should be an exciting one.
I think, you know what? I think that is the perfect note to end things on. That's the last game we're going to discuss. So, just again, a final roundup because it is UK time, 6 p.m. Saturday. So where you are around the world will be different. But seven games kicking off at the same time. The two games which could decide the title race: Sporting at home to Vitória, Benfica away at Braga, and simultaneously the four games involving the teams that could be relegated, which is AVS at home to Moreirense, Boavista away at Arouca, Estrela away at Estoril, and Farense at home to Santa Clara. Patrick, they've also chucked in Porto versus Nacional at 6 p.m. on Saturday. Not entirely sure why, but that's happening at the same time as well, if anyone wants to watch that. But yeah, I think we will leave it there. Get locked in on Saturday because it's going to be an incredible moment. I'm going to have to come up with some multi-screen system. Patrick, I guess there's only one game you're going to be watching.
Yeah, just one.
So you ain't got the same problems.
We just got to win that game, yeah.
I'm going to be phone, computer, TV, something else. Got to come up with something else so I can try and watch four games at once. But it's going to be fantastic. Patrick, of course, big thank you for joining us. Patrick's going to be on the show next week. Obviously, it's a big weekend. We're going to have Patrick on. I think we're going to try and get a couple more people on for like a big end of year show. So hopefully it will be an exciting and interesting end to the season. I'm sure Patrick will be a bit more nervous than us. But yeah, all right, Patrick, thank you so much for joining me, mate. And yeah, we'll see everyone next week.
Yeah, thank you.